Okay, I have somebody here with me by the name of Mitchell, and I'm going to ask him a few questions. It's sort of a podcast on TFL. And this man appears to have been following along for quite a while. He knows a lot about TFL. And so I'm going to ask him, you know, because I have a lot of controversy out there. A lot of people think that I say things wrong or what have you. So I want to get somebody else's opinion about what they think of me and what they think of TFL. So I'm going to let this man give his opinion about what he thinks about my videos, the way I've presented myself, and what TFL is. So welcome aboard, Mitchell.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad.
Actually, I've been following your videos since 2009.
That's quite a while.
The first time I watched your video was, summer 2009, you know, at work, you know. On, you know, my, you know, laptop or, you know, because I work, you know, night shifts. So I would bring my laptop and my, you know, smartphone and, you know, sometimes you're bored to watch videos and it kind of came across these videos. And in a way, it kind of struck home because alienation in our American culture is a very serious problem. And, you know, I've also noticed a lot of us men, you know, trying to go out there and meet women. It can be a very rough and very frustrating dilemma out there.
Yeah, so there's a lot of guys that really have a problem with even trying to meet a woman, don't they?
I mean, even trying to go out and meet women, even going to the right places, it could still be, you know, a very rough, frustrating dilemma out there.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of your videos I was able to understand, you know, what was going on. And how I actually came across your video is, the first video I saw of you was when you criticized, you know, Winston knew about the overseas thing.
Yeah, that's been long ago that I went after Winston Wu over the overseas thing, but I knew from experience from going overseas that it's not as much different overseas as people think it is. And you do have to be careful because there's a lot of, especially in third world nations, there's a lot of women out there that will say everything you want to hear to get out of that third world status and get into a better country like the U.S. And so what they technically do, and a lot of them will actually use the American man to get here, and then as soon as they can obtain their green card, they'll dump the guy in their ass.
I've heard of that happening quite a bit. You know, and that's not a new thing, but that's been going on for quite a while.
Yes, exactly. And there's a lot of truth behind that. And a lot of guys don't realize that. So, you know, and it can cost an American man upwards into right around $10,000 just to get, by the time you're through with the paperwork and Homeland Security and the interview over there, and like if it was from the Philippines, the women have to have an interview in Manila with the American embassy and they have to be approved. And by the time it's all said and done and you get them over here, you could spend upward in right around $10,000.
And a lot of times you go to other places, because I've traveled around the country, and believe it or not, like I'm originally from the East Coast, where I'm talking to you from right now. But I've, you know, lived out west. I've lived in several different western states. You figure, well, if I go here, I go there, you know, things will be different. But the thing is, it's, people are the same no matter where you go.
I got some static here. Is that from your side, or?
Probably.
Okay, yeah, because I was almost drowning you out right there.
You know, people are people no matter where you go.
Yeah, well, that's true. It don't matter what environment you go to, people are still going to be people. So what did you get? I mean, you understood what I was saying in my message about TFL. Do you think I come across too harsh for people?
What I think you're doing is it's a way of putting your anger towards what's going on out there. And it's kind of like using, you know, your YouTube. It's kind of like this punching bag. It's kind of like me. I might go out and go for a walk or, you know, we all find ways of kind of, you know, displacing all our anger and frustration. So I think your method was using, you know, the YouTube videos and trying to get your message out there.
Okay. So you think I was maybe just a little bit harsh, but it was more like I was beaten at it, huh?
Yeah, it would seem like you were the harshest one. You were the tough guy.
I was the tough guy, okay.
You were the hanging judge.
Okay, well, I'm the guy that stuck around when everybody else ran, too.
But, no, it's rough out. I mean, it's not easy out there, and it's a situation that, unfortunately, is probably going to get worse. And things are the way they are, and it's just for many, many different factors.
Right. So, well, we were talking, we've been talking about this quite a bit. And the one thing that we both talked about is the fact that men and women are alike, are victims, and that this stuff came from the top on down for division, and that most people don't see that, that the women were just as much victims as the men, and that society itself, governments, corporations, bankers, media, profits, you know, marketing industry, and for division, the women have been, they have been just as much of a victim as the men in society when it comes to this issue.
Well, these big corporate elites, they don't give a flying, you know what, about women, their needs, their wants, their rights. They really don't. But they're going to figure out any way they can to pit people against each other. Let's say it was so easy for, you know, us guys to go out there and beat women. Then we'd be more, us guys would be more likely to stick together.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of static again. I don't know if it's something on your side or if I need to redo the call.
I'm going to put this up to my ear.
Oh, well, you're definitely clear now because I had like a waterfall.
Okay, I'm going to put this up to my ear. But no, what I have noticed was a lot of, what's going on out there, it seems like, not only are you dividing the men and the women, but it's also a way of having us men compete for women. So basically we're going to be more, competitive against each other, and we're less likely going to, do things. We're going to stick together or do things on a collective basis, which would be a threat to whatever these power structures are.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't want men and women on a strong basis now, in a good strong family unit or standing together now, would they?
Now, plus, when it was like that, a lot of us guys stuck together much better.
That's true.
A lot of us would go out, do things, go fishing. We weren't, worrying about competing about, over a mate.
No, well, back in them days, I don't think there was too many guys that really ever had to compete for a mate. You used to have a time where if your buddy was alone, you'd be able to set him up with a blind date, and people set each other up with dates. But nowadays, friends don't set friends up with dates anymore, do they?
No, you're all worried about yourself and whether you're going to get a date.
Exactly.
No, even when I was in high school, if I was going through a period where I was having a dry spell, I'd always have someone that would set me up. Or I'd meet someone through somebody else. But, no matter, what our, what level our friendship was, you would always meet somebody through somebody.
Well, that's actually was common trait that people would meet the person they would wind up with through friends or through somebody they already knew. But anymore, that ain't even happening. Very rare is it happening. I mean, it still does, but it's not like it used to be. If you was to go out yourself, Mitchell, and you was to approach a strange woman in the mall or whatever, okay, what do you think the reaction would be?
Usually, I've actually done that, and usually they might, respond, oh, hi, but they're going to go their own way.
Yeah, okay.
Generally, that's what's going to happen. But what could happen if you do it enough is you probably will get accosted by mall security.
Right, and if you was to go into a club and approach a woman?
It could get you into some kind of physical confrontation.
Yep, that's what my experience is too. Then you'll get into physical confrontation. Have you had a woman ever say ooh at you or anything like that?
No, I've had women give me like a really critical look.
Like as if they were bothered by the fact that you approached them.
Or even said hi to them.
And if you had a message that you'd like to send to the women, what would you want to tell them?
You know, in a sense, I really don't know. Like I said, I really feel that we're all victims of this. We're all in this together. And I really feel that, you know, we have to find a way of trying to redress this issue.
Well, you know, I have to agree with that because we are all victims. Whether the women know it or not, they're just as much a victim as men are. And the only reason that women do not, most the majority, not all women, but the majority of women don't see TFL. And the majority of reason they don't see TFL is because of the fact that women and gender roles, women were the ones that was being approached. And so women, they get approached by guy after guy after guy. And so they're taking their pick, and they immediately would assume that the guy they rejected, that there's a million or billion more fish out there in the sea. And so there's always somebody for somebody is what the old saying is.
And so, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but by going out there and trying to approach all these women, a lot of times all us men were actually shooting ourselves in the foot by doing so.
Yeah.
In many different ways.
Well, it's sort of like going up a ladder and getting halfway up and being pushed off again and having that happen over and over, isn't it?
It's that, but it's also, in a sense, we're shooting yourself in the foot because if, you know, less people went out and approached them or, you know, showed interest, you know, then things can turn around a little bit.
Okay, so what do you mean by that?
No, if we showed less interest, you know, and us guys, you know, chased women less, you know, then they might, you know, I don't know. I really feel that by trying to chase after them and them getting hit on all the time, it's actually causing them to become more guarded, more picky, and all that.
Yeah, that's the reason I asked you that, because I sort of knew where you were going already. And I do happen to agree with that, because one of the things that I have noticed is if the guy shows less interest a man shows in a female, then the more interested in that guy the female becomes. Okay? And I've also can understand it because I've tried to say this to people before that they should put themselves in somebody else's shoes. Okay? For the men out there, let's just imagine that you was a female and that you was the one being approached all the time. Okay? And it's not just by one guy or two guys, but you're approached 4 or 5 times a week, maybe sometimes 10 or 15 times a week, all the time throughout your life. And there's times that maybe you already got somebody in your life and some guy approaches you. And even if you're polite and tell them you're already with somebody, in today's society, there's guys out here that don't care that you're with somebody. And to them, it's a game to try to take that woman out from underneath you. And they won't accept no for an answer. And in a woman's shoes, if she's hit on all the time and she's just out there trying to live her life, after a while, she would get very sick of that, very frustrated with it, and she might become actually cruel and rude to guys that do approach her.
And that happens all the time. Every time they go to the drugstore, the market, the mall, you know, the gas station, wherever they go, they get approached, they get hassled. And a lot of guys, they can go about it in a very crude manner as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys are too pushy, and a lot of guys are too aggressive about it. And, you know, so, of course, you have to put yourself in their shoes. And also, another thing about it is, if I was in their shoes, I'd probably be hiding. I'd probably want to be invisible.
Yeah, you'd want to be invisible or lock yourself in and go out when you thought there was nobody out, right?
And believe it or not, and the fear level a lot of these women are going through, believe it or not, I mean, there's women that, God forbid, if it's like, you know, 9 o'clock at night and they have to walk to the Wawa, which is the convenience stores around here, to go to buy a packet of tampons, you know, and it's like 10 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night. And they have to walk 2-3 blocks. You know, a lot of them are living in fear. You know, a lot of them, you know, because of all the rapes and attacks and all that.
Well, you know, and I can understand that. You know, and I see it in a society What they've done is they've taken sex and they've put it at the top of the list. And sex has become the number one agenda, which it should have never been to begin with. And you have a lot of aggressive people out there, and if you get some aggressive guy that has spent years alone being rejected, and the guy's very aggressive, and you have a world full of everything sex, and if you have other women out there that are dressing very provocatively, you know what I'm talking about? Then women, then all women essentially become a target because of other people's behavior.
Not only that, but a lot of people that are doing this are very mean, sadistic people as well. It's not even about the sex. It's about, you know, trying to harm other people.
Yeah, for that power trip.
You know, there's guys out. It's kind of like the profile of the people that do this are going to be more like, kind of like, almost like a bully type mentality.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a bully-like thing where it gives them like some kind of emotional high to harm another person.
Well, unfortunately, we have a society where people who are not in today's society, and there's a whole lot of people, and I've actually seen it in both genders. It's not a discriminatory thing, because I have seen it in both genders where they actually get their entertainment out of watching somebody else suffer.
Here's another thing. When you think about, when you were talking about the serial killers, you don't really hear about this, but there's a lot of men that are killed by serial killers as well throughout the country.
Yeah, there is. There are men killed by serial killers. That is true.
There's a lot more of it, but it brings more sensation when it's brought to the news.
Yeah, well, the media hides a lot of stuff, too. Because you get a lot of stuff that goes on in society that's not reported by the media, too. Okay, and domestic violence is one of them. Okay, because domestic violence, when you watch the media, mainstream media especially, how often do you hear the woman being the one that's doing as the perpetrator in domestic violence?
Never.
Exactly. But in reality, you'll find out if you really people really open their eyes to it, that it's 50-50, if not 60-50, that the women are the ones that actually instigate what takes place. And you do have women who hit, punch, kick, and you have women that are every bit as strong as a lot of guys. The myth that women are weaker than men is just what that is a myth. What do you think?
There's women that are smaller than me that can kick my ass.
Yeah. See,
you know, martial arts, a number of things.
Yeah. Well, I've witnessed that myself in life, and people have this misconception that women are weak and they're fragile, and the guy has to be the protector, and the woman's not able to defend herself against a man. But yet, I see the total opposite of what the myth is.
It's the same kind of myth saying that, like, if you go to New York City, it's all crime-ridden. You know, yet you can have crime in a small town like out in the Midwest, a lot of violent crime.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like, they'll say, well, oh, my God, New York, it's all crime-ridden, and all your movies, it always depicts crime. But a lot of your muggings and violent crime, you know, can happen in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah, well, Des Moines isn't a small spot neither. Des Moines is a pretty good-sized city, okay? And unless people been to Des Moines, they don't understand that. Des Moines isn't a small farming community town. Des Moines is a major city.
It's a major city of probably about 300,000 or more.
Yeah, easily, okay? It's easily 300,000 or better, okay? And people don't understand that. But violence can happen anywhere. And in today's society, what do we see people treat each other like?
People just treat each other like crap no matter where you go. And, you know, sometimes I'll, you know, go up to, like, you know, a counter in a supermarket, and you can see how they would, like, treat one person and then how they treat the other person. So there is a bias there.
Yeah, there is very much a bias there.
Yeah, but you can tell how they talk. They might talk to one person but not talk that way to another person.
So when you first run into my videos, then you seen who? Did you see Dwayne Holloway and then Steve Holka?
Yeah, all three.
So you seen all three of us.
And also, what was his name? Big Boss Calvin.
And Big Boss Calvin, do you remember Midnight Sunshades?
Yes.
Okay, then you've been around a while because you remember Midnight Sunshades.
He was on there at the very beginning. You don't see his video anymore.
No, I've got some of his videos on my external backed up. But yeah, and I still have contact with him off and on. Okay, but he don't post anything anymore. But he was very well spoken.
But we all go through it. I think all of us guys go through it to some degree.
And Dwayne, you seem like he was the nice guy, huh?
He seemed like he was nice, very mellow, you know, very talkative, very well spoken.
Right. And Steve Holka, what was your perception of him?
I actually, believe it or not, showed his video to some other, you know, women that I knew that works in the Chamonix Mall. And they actually were saying, like, it wasn't the way he looks. He seemed like a very uptight person.
Okay, like he was somebody that was just uptight and frustrated?
Yeah, it seemed like a very uptight, you know, person.
Okay. And what do you think most of the people thought about me?
Oh, my God, I wouldn't want to mention it.
I don't know. I'm not afraid. Go ahead.
I actually showed a video to my roommate. My roommate, you know, she said, well, he's not that bad looking. And then I showed it to another person, right? And she says, oh, my God, that guy is so horribly negative.
So I'm horribly negative then, right?
Horribly negative.
Okay, so let me ask you this, okay? I was figuring that was probably coming. Okay, so what was so negative about me?
A lot of people don't want to hear the truth. A lot of people don't want to have to deal with other people's pain.
Right, okay, so the truth is what made me negative.
Exactly.
Right, so then what they wanted to hear was bullshit and lies. Or they just wanted me to shut up, right?
Pretty much. It was more like they want to see, oh, wow, I went out and I've had some relationships and, you know, women are nice and women aren't all that bad and, you know, people aren't all that bad and most people are nice, blah, blah, blah. That's what they want you to hear.
Okay. They don't want you to hear the truth, even though the truth is the truth.
Right. The truth hurts.
Yeah. I've discovered that really good, that how mad people get over the truth. But, you know, to me, it's like this. If you're upset over the truth, there would really only be one reason the truth would hurt you. Because you're living inside a bubble and lies is what you want. You don't want truth.
We live in a society where everything's supposed to be okay.
Okay.
Even if, quote, unquote, these nuclear bombs are dropping, like you were saying in your videos, we're supposed to walk out there with a big stiff lip, rock jaw, and a smile on her face, and everything's okay.
Okay, so it's all Humpty Dory, even if they're hauling you off to a FEMA camp with a gun to your head, huh?
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, even if it's not okay, everything's supposed to be okay. That's the way we've been conditioned in our society to interact with one another.
Well, you know, I've met quite a few people, and I've had guys call me even as recently. And there's a guy here that calls me up, and I'm not going to say his name just for respect, okay? But he called me up on the phone, and he first come at me, of course, like they most of them do. They'll PM me on YouTube. And he was literally knocking himself down. He was blaming himself for the reason he can't get a date in his life. And so it's all his fault. And there's another guy up on YouTube you'll watch, and he's like 36 years old. He's a 36-year-old virgin, and I think they call him Donnelly. And he's constantly putting himself down. And there's not the first people I've seen it. These guys blame themselves, and they think they have to change themselves. This one guy's He's a black man.
Yeah.
And he actually thinks that if he could change himself into a white man, that he would have better success.
That's very subjective. Like in my situation, I always said to myself, hey, if I was, you know, taller, I'd be okay. I don't know. That's subjective, too. You know, people out there, basically, when you're out there and you don't know anybody, people just don't want to be bugged.
Right. If they don't know you and you're a stranger, they would rather be left alone.
Exactly. And especially the women.
And so then how would you suggest that a guy was supposed to meet a female if they want to be left alone?
The best way I could suggest would be to, you know, get involved in things that you really enjoy doing. But more so than that, go to places where you're going to be around females that are going to be more your element and have more of the same interest you are have.
Right. So if you have an interest, take up a hobby or go to places when frequent places where you can enjoy what you're doing and there's women there that enjoy the same thing.
Exactly. You know, women that you're pretty much on the same, you know, frequency as. It's like, okay, someone like me, I live in a place that, you know, it's kind of, I'm not trying to sound because I'm about to sound myself, right? But I live in a place that has a lot, some people that are total Jewish American princesses. You know what I mean?
Right.
Gaps. You probably heard that term used in Florida quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in a very Jappy area. Where I'm living happens to be a very Jappy area. So I'm not going to stay in an area like I happen to live here right now. But, you know, generally, that's not the area I know I'm going to fit in. I'm going to go to places that I know I'm going to fit in the best. So let's say if I was to, you know, go out there and try to meet someone, it'd be better for me to go to, like, let's say some kind of, you know, jazz fest on the Delaware River that's out in the country.
That's out in the country.
That's out in the country and a little bit of a buffer away from the big city.
Right.
So that would make it more conducive to actually go up there and be more chatty and be more open. And, you know, plus I'll have people that I have something in common with because, you know, I'm very much out there, you know, as far as nature, nature photography, art, and, you know, things of that nature. So you want to stay around people that you know you're within your element, that you know you're going to fit in.
Yep. And how?
Nobody's going to perfectly fit in, but at least be able to, you know, fit in the best.
Well, yeah, that's true. And one of the other things that I've noticed in society, you know, we talked about this before, how people are actually treating each other like dirt. And, you know, you've heard this, I'm sure, a million times yourself, that women chase after the bad boys. Okay, the nice guys come in last. And then you know the statistics, the numbers, that 80% of the female population chase after 20% of the men.
I'm sorry, a lot of these bad boys that they chase after are not even what I consider bad boys, but just people that are total pieces of shit.
Yeah, people that treat the women don't respect themselves, let alone the women.
I mean, junkies, I mean, is it okay? I don't know if it's okay to swear on this, but I'm basically saying real fucked up people.
Yeah.
I mean, totally fucked up people that they'll chase after. Like, if I'm a bad boy, like I said, I'm going to maybe ride a motorcycle or have a souped-up car and maybe sit out on the beach and smoke me a nice blunt and start a little bonfire and roast some marshmallows and kind of be a rebel and beat to a different drummer. I mean, that's the classic bad boy. The type of bad boy that's portrayed today is someone that's a total piece of shit.
Somebody that's mouthy. Somebody that don't respect themselves, let alone anybody around them.
And some of these people, it's, oh my God, how could she stand that person even touching her?
And that's the one that they want.
Exactly.
And so then the guy that comes along that's considered the nice guy, that would actually treat the woman like a woman and respect her and like her for who she is, she's the one that, he's the one that gets dumped on.
Pretty much. It doesn't happen with every situation, but the problem is the women that would actually fall for the down to earth nice guy are generally mostly taken.
That's the experiences I've seen. They're generally almost taken always.
Usually taken, or they're still in a relationship or getting out of a relationship, but not as available as the type of women that will go for these type of men.
Right. And so then what you're seeing is the numbers are staggered big time, and you have literally millions of men that can't even get a female in their life.
And it's going to get worse.
Yeah. You know, and for all you people out there that think the TFL is just a myth, it's not so. I think the majority of people out here actually know it is so, don't you?
I believe people, you know, are aware of it, you know, being very factual. I mean, most guys, even guys that I've actually talked to, you know, believe that it exists.
Yeah. Well, it is very true. I didn't create the problem myself. I just gave it a name. That's all I ever did, was give a name to a pre-existing problem that had no name.
I call it alienation. That was my term for it.
Right.
The fact, and alienation, that is a very serious problem, especially here in North America.
Well, anymore, you don't even, neighbors ain't even neighbors. You get people living next to neighbors and they don't know who the neighbor is.
And it's been like that for quite some time. I mean, I live in a high rise. And, you know, basically it's even best to, you know, not get too involved with neighbors because you don't know what you're going to get yourself into. What kind of drama. It's not just the scary stuff. People are afraid of drama. People are afraid of getting involved in things that could cause them, you know, major setbacks in life as well.
Well, that's true. Drama is one of the killers of relationships in today's society. One of the things that I do know, you know, you've seen this, and you don't see it too often, but you've seen it in the news, where you had a couple that got married out of high school, and they're in their 70s or 80s, and one of them passes away, or they both pass away within a short order. But they were married out of high school, and they were together their whole life. And you don't see that anymore, but one of the things when they were interviewing one of the elderly couples said was drama. They've never had drama. They didn't go there. And drama is the number one killer of relationships.
It almost seems like we're being socially engineered to be something different than, you know, what our traditional lifestyles were, you know, even let's say a few decades ago.
Yeah, well, you know, I've said this before. This started at the top. This is not an accident. What we're seeing was deliberately done to society. The people that are responsible for doing this society knew full well what they were doing. They knew what the results was going to be of what they'd done. And that's why you had PUA. That's why you got MRA. Okay, this is why you're seeing what's happened, because this was deliberately done. The division of the genders, but they just didn't divide genders. They've divided races, genders, everything. Right. Yep, everything straight across the board.
As far as you can.
Yeah. There's nothing that hasn't been divided. And the problem with the division of the genders is one of the things that I've noticed that's a very bad thing is gender roles. Because gender roles put all the responsibility onto one, leaving the other with almost next to no responsibility.
When I took psychology, you know, when I was in art school, my psychology teacher, who happened to be a female, was very much against these gender roles.
Yeah, and that your psychology teacher was a female?
Yes, she was against the gender roles. And she also felt, you know, it was not a good idea for women to be, you know, shallow and superficial either.
Okay, so with the psychologist, she was a female, and she was very much against gender roles herself. Did she tell you why she was against gender roles?
So she felt it was very damaging for both sexes to have these gender roles, because she felt everyone, you know, is pretty much the same. There might be some biological differences, but as human beings, we need to be treated equally.
See, now that's where I've always come from, and I would have shook her hand, and that's being a psychologist, because the way I look at it is 90% of the differences that's been promoted through mainstream media in your school system between the genders is propaganda. That there cannot possibly be that many differences because the women and men alike are human beings, okay? A woman don't give birth to somebody that's so much different than herself. That wouldn't be possible. And so, yeah, I see where the gender roles, to me, has been a big problem because gender roles did put all the responsibility under one, leaving the other gender with hardly any responsibility. And as you know yourself, if you power and greed is a it's like a virus. There's never an end to power and greed.
These people want more and more and more, whoever these people are on the top. And one thing for sure, they don't want to give anything up.
Exactly. And that is also what you would see in the female gender, not all female genders, but in the female gender that realizes the power they got. You've heard women say this before about pussy power, and their pussy is power. Now, some women will say, oh, they're just joking, but if you really look in deep inside the women to say that, they're actually not joking.
That's because a lot of us guys, you know, not only are we horny, but as men, we need to, here's one difference they actually discuss in the psychology class. Us guys, we could be like more romantic. We could reminisce about things that we had in the past or our experiences. Women, on the other hand, are more geared towards what is advantageous for survival.
Right. So they're geared more towards survival.
Survival.
And so if they're geared more towards survival, what do you think that's doing with the genders then?
So it's a way of keeping us more, it's a way that the powers that be know they can keep us more divided, you know, by giving them that certain amount here and there, or, well, they're trying to keep us divided in every way possible. Even if we didn't have, like, quote-unquote feminism or women, you know, weren't in the workplace or whatever, they would still find ways of keeping us divided.
Yeah, divide and conquer. And that's been going on for a long time, the divide and conquer.
So you would find other ways of doing it, you know, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But however, they're going to be more picky or more superficial for the simple fact that they want to fit in because they're afraid of their own, you know, survival abilities.
Right. Well, do you see a society when you're saying they want to fit in, but isn't what we're witnessing both men and women alike that are worried about fitting in?
Fitting in, and a lot of us guys believe it. Well, here's the difference. Like, you know, women will like things like, you know, romantic novels. They're emotional. They can be very nurturing. However, in certain survival conditions, they can turn that on and off like a light switch where with us, that could be very difficult.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't buy into the stuff that the women are more emotional than men. And I probably never will buy into that because I've met one hell of a lot of men in my life that are every bit as emotional as women. But the problem is men have suppressed it down because if men show their emotions, then they're automatically labeled weak and they're called names.
If I'm going to show emotions, I'm weak and I'm called a fag.
Exactly. And because you showed emotions, you're weak, you're called a fag, you're weak, you're ridiculed, you're called names. And so now what happened is the male gender was being forced to suppress a normal feeling, an emotion, down and not bring it out, all because of their gender.
And that goes back not only with, you know, corporate America, that goes back to our religions as well.
Yeah.
That goes back to all organized religions that, you know, created this gender role.
Exactly. And that gender... Go ahead.
The thing you have to take into account, especially in our country, is we actually live in what's known as a very puritanistic culture.
Okay, now explain the definition of what you've said.
the ideals of like Puritanism or Calvinism was we're supposed to have a stiff upper lip. We're supposed to be hardworking and self-denied. And, you know, deprivation is the way into the kingdom of, you know, heaven.
Okay, self-denied is and deny your own emotions and feelings.
Deny your own emotions and feelings. Deny the fact that you have needs that be loved. Deny the fact that you want to go out and have fun and enjoy life. All these things.
Right, and that's stuff the women don't have to deny, but the men do have to deny.
Yeah. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that in our culture, we were based on very deep Puritanistic roots that also have what's known as a moral authoritarian type overtone to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of that comes from, where in a lot of our European counterparts, it's not going to be a perfect world, but it might be a little easier there than it would be here.
Yeah.
Like if I was in Ireland, it might in some ways be easier there in the social scene and meeting people than it would here in, you know, the United States or Canada.
It might be, but, you know, then you have the other aspect of this where, you know, like Peter Nolan, I don't know if you know who he is.
No.
Okay, but he was from over in that area where you just talked about. Okay, and he was married for 22 years to the same woman, had his kids with her. He worked when they first was together, they both worked, and then she decided after she got pregnant that she was going to retire and not work and stay home with the kids. He had no problem with that, so she raised the kids, he worked. But when it was all said and done, she started resenting him being at work and didn't appreciate the fact that if he wasn't working, they wouldn't have the home or anything they have. So she was very non-appreciative of anything that he'd done. Okay, and then in the end, she divorces him, and just like over here in America, the court systems took everything from him, took his house, took everything, left him with nothing.
Believe it or not, there was a woman I knew in California that actually was child support was taken from her.
You're seeing a little bit more than that. You're seeing a little bit more of that happening in today's society. But you still have a very old-fashioned court system.
It's going to favor the women because us guys were seen as the bad guys, and it's the way our moral system is structured as well.
Right, because the guy's always the rapist. The guy's always the villain. The guy's always wrong. You know, you've heard this saying before. She's right even if she's wrong.
And it's not even so much the women's fault, it's the system itself.
It is. It is the system itself because what the women don't realize is we're not blaming the women because it's not the women who've done this. It's society who's done this through social conditioning, gender roles, media, the school system. Everything, the books, the magazines, the music, it's a big picture. It's everything that's done this. And one of the things I've tried to tell people is, you hear people say, well, I wear the pants in my house. You know what I'm saying? And I don't care what gender it is when they say I wear the pants in the house. What they're really saying is their partner's a slave. Because that's what you're saying when you say I wear the pants. You're saying you're the other person's boss. Okay, that they're lower than you somehow, you're above them, that they're a slave. So my definition, if somebody says who wears the pants in my house, I'm very sarcastic about it because I tell them nobody wears the pants in my house because we run around naked.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of it has to do with religion as well. You
right.
Know, religion and role model and gender roles, but a lot of that goes back to our religions.
Yeah, because religion said what? That the guy was supposed to be ahead of the household.
Exactly. So a lot of that goes to, a lot of it has to do with our religions, and that's all our basic organized religions that we know of in our, you know, nation right now.
And so therefore, actually, religion, it's just like I've said so many times before, is division, and religion helped to create division amongst the genders.
And believe it or not, religion is a tool the powers that be use over the people.
Yeah, it is.
Religion is the opiate of the state.
Yeah. Well, people didn't notice when they got married that they were signing a three-party contract. The marriage license was actually a three-party contract, and people say, no, it wasn't. And they say, yes, it was. Because the guy signs the marriage license, the female he marries signs the marriage license, and the pastor signs the marriage license, but the pastor represents the state.
Exactly.
So now the state has signature on your marriage license. And so the state decides ultimately the fate of your marriage.
Pretty much. Or how long you're going to be married, or all of that.
Exactly.
Whether the marriage is going to work.
Well, a lot of factors we have in marriages not working in today's society is the fact that I've seen this so many times. People jump right into relationships. They just met each other 2 days ago when they're already in a relationship with each other. They don't even know each other. And they're already with each other. And they're saying they're in a relationship when in reality, people have lost the concept of what dating is. They have no idea what dating is. They've totally lost the concept of what a date is. A lot of people think a date is getting in her pants or her getting in his pants. Okay? And so they skip the dating pretty much completely, and they go right into a relationship with somebody they don't even know, not understanding that dating is not a commitment. If somebody says of a woman and a guy are dating each other, that's not a relationship, and that's not a commitment. Dating is meant for two people to get to know each other to see if they are compatible.
And that takes time.
Exactly. So you could have two people who date each other for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and then they decide in that amount of time they've dated each other that they wind up having feelings for each other, and then they get together, and then the relationship forms. Whether if it's 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years, but a relationship takes time. And the major things in a relationship is trust, good communication, being able to openly express your feelings, for her to be able to openly express her feelings, understanding of each other's feelings, and the friendship that's brought you together is the bond. And if you
take compatibility.
Yeah. Well, that friendship is also where your compatibility comes in.
Your friendship, interest, all that.
Exactly. And you've heard people say opposites attract, but that's not true.
No.
That's a myth. That's not true whatsoever. Okay? Because when opposites get together and they go under that myth, what you have is lots of drama that destroys the relationship.
You're not going to put like an ultra-conservative with an extreme liberal together. That's not going to work.
No, you're not. And some of the things I've mentioned to people and I've tried to get through to some people is this. There's no two people that will ever agree upon every single thing. I don't care how compatible you are, you're not going to always agree. And this is where people need to learn what compromise means. Compromise doesn't mean that the guy gives, and the female never gives. It's just the guy gives. That is not compromise. Okay, compromise is if you and her have a disagreement, one time you're going to bend and you're going to fold and you're going to do it her way, right? But the next time you have a disagreement, she's going to fold and it's going to be done your way. That is compromise because you're working together 50-50 and you're going back and forth. It's not give. It's give, take from both sides.
When I went to school, they used to teach us that. It's probably something that's not taught anymore.
Yeah, okay. You was actually taught what I just said.
Yes.
See, now that should be taught in society, because what I just said is what... See, the people's misconception of a relationship is gender roles didn't help nobody, because the female is expected that she gets, and she don't give in return. And this is what gender roles did. But what I just said is what it really is. Both men and women alike are human beings. The man has a right to be emotional. He has a right to express his emotions and feelings without being called names, told he's weak, told he's gay. See, that labeling destroys, because when you take a man and you do that to him, you actually destroy that man.
You destroy that person.
Exactly. You destroy that person from the inside out. And then you would wonder why that guy would lose his mind and do something off the wall. Okay?
But we have very complex emotions, and we're very complex beings as human beings itself.
Yeah, and that's why I said the differences between men and women are really minute, because there's not that many differences between men and women, period. Okay? Yes, there's some, but there's nowhere near the differences they promoted. That was for division. And what men and women need to understand is a relationship is 50-50. She has to give as much as she takes. He has to give as much as he takes. It's 50-50. And until people understand that, it takes work for a relationship. And the relationship's only going to form through time and through friendship. And you have to be able to understand each other's feelings. That's a must, and you must respect each other's feelings. It's not about changing somebody into who you want them to be.
How we were taught, like, this was, like, I guess, like, you know, sixth or seventh grade, where we would all get together, and you would be with another person, and, like, let's say the person that was with did not want to watch something on TV, right? So you would compromise something.
Yes.
It was called negotiations and compromise.
Yep, there you go. Because that's what it has to be. Because when you lose the negotiation and compromise, then it becomes one-sided. And if it becomes one-sided, then the other person's being the one that's getting the shaft, as you might want to say.
It's kind of like, let's say you wanted to, I'm not into sports at all, but, you know, hypothetically, you know, let's say you wanted to watch the baseball game, and, you know, your wife, or let's say you're with Cindy, you know, wanted to watch a cooking channel. So you would compromise about it. Like, let's say, you know, tomorrow you can watch your cooking channel, but, you know, today I want to watch, you know, my football.
Uh-huh. You got your waterfall back.
But, you know, that's how you would do that. You there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
But that's how you would do that. You would negotiate and compromise how it would best suit everyone, how your needs would be met and that other person's needs would be met.
Right. Okay, I would like to ask you one more thing before we wind this up. What would your advice be to all the young men out there that can't get a female in their life?
The best advice I can give would be, number one, you know, don't give up, but to try different ways of going about it to where, you know, and, you know, trial and error, number one. But on the other hand, don't try too hard.
Yeah, in other words, don't put all of your time and energy into it day after day after day.
Right. Try to, you know, try to misdirect that energy, you know, some. I mean, there's more important things that, you know, need to be done in life than, you know, trying to get a female in your life sometimes.
Well, there is, and I think if people would take it off their mind and just find things that would make themselves happy, and if they would do what you said earlier, involve themselves in situations, clubs, wherever, are seen and go do a sport or an activity that you like, and meet other like-minded women that like that same sport, or whatever it is, activity that you would choose that you like, then you're going to find somebody like-minded like yourself.
Right, but don't go there with the sole purpose of trying to meet someone. Go there with the sole purpose that you want to go there and have a good time.
Exactly. Because if you go there with the sole purpose that you're there to meet somebody, you're going to walk away disappointed.
Exactly. And when you go there with that, you know, desperation and the body language of desperation, you're only going to push them away.
Yeah, you'll actually run them off rather than them take the time to get to know you.
Because we all have to realize even something that's innocent and harmless to some women can be very frightening.
Oh, yeah, that is so true. And that would be for the guys out there and for the women out there. The only thing I could tell the women out there is TFL is very, very true. And you have that thanks to society within general. And you have to look from the top down, from your governments, bankers, and corporations. It was done deliberately. And gender roles is a big reason that majority of women will not see TFL because they're the ones being approached. And because they're the ones always being approached thanks to gender roles, they pretty much take their pick. The guys do not get approached by females but once in a blue moon. Okay, the majority of men will never be approached by a female. And the guys are competitive against each other because you do have staggering numbers. Because it is true that 20% of or 80% of women are actually chasing after 20% of the men. And by the time these women outgrow that phase, they've already had their kids tied their tubes. They're already in middle age. And sometimes even women in middle age haven't changed their roles.
Exactly. You can even have like women that are 60 years old that have not changed their roles.
Exactly. And so what's necessary, so when women say there's tons of fish in the sea to the guy they're rejecting, they better remember this. The majority of women are just like her. And they want the same type of fish that she's chasing after. And so therefore, there's a staggering number of men that women are actually neglecting, don't care, don't stop to think about when she said there's another fish out there, that guy may spend the next 30 years alone, and he's lost his chance if he wanted to have a female in his life and have his own kids with her, raise his kids and grow together. That's been taken away from him. And if he only had one life to live, you've denied him that life that you're living yourself. But, you know, that's because she's actually the victim herself, because we didn't ask for the gender roles. Gender roles are wrong. We didn't ask for what's going on in society. It was put onto us, and it's made women just as much of a victim as it has men. And the only reason women never saw TFL is because gender roles have stacked everything against the man and not the woman.
And a lot of these women, believe it or not, have also ended up in horrible, abusive relationships and even things that they were never even happy with in the first place. But they have been conditioned by a society to only like certain things. It's almost like we're programmed what we're supposed to like, what we're not supposed to like.
Well, technically, what you just said right there is so true. It is programming. And a majority of all men and women alike have been programmed into what they're supposed to like and what they're not supposed to like. And unfortunately, for the guys who fall into the aroma of what they've been taught not to like, them guys are going to live a very tough, hard, lonely life.
And that's most of the guys, unfortunately.
It is. It is most of the men. Most of the male population live a very hard, lonely life. So it's not an accident that you've seen spots like in Japan that was building female robots. It's not an accident that you've seen life-size with real-looking skin to touch, realistic, just like a real human being, dolls that are actually marketed and sold to the male population. That right there should be a big red flag that should tell the women that there is a problem in society, because no man should have to buy something like that for companionship because he can't get it from the gender that's out there for him.
They actually want us to feel more isolated and alienated because it's a way of the powers that be to control all of us on a personal level as well.
It is, yes.
Let's assume this. Let's assume we lived in a world like we did about four decades ago. Okay, I could walk in any mall, you know, say hi to women. You know, hey, what's up, sister? Peace, right?
Right.
And it would be well received. I'm not, at least one out of five, I'd probably, you know, have a pot, you know, go out and have a soda pop with or something.
Right.
Or have some coffee. And, you know, it was well received. You can have the different dates and different relationships and everyone happy. If it was like that, and everyone was happy and people didn't feel alienated, for one, like, these corporations would lose out big time.
Yeah, the corporations would, because you notice the marketing is, what, 70% to 80% of all stuff's marketed to the female gender.
And a lot of guys that will join the military, believe it or not, are guys that are having a hard time, you know, doing well here economically, young people. But not only that, a lot of young people that will join the military are guys that have been jilted in a relationship.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of guys that's been through a hard time in a relationship, and they've been, you know, and you had the different phases that's gone through society, from Generation X, the baby boomers, okay, the hookup scene, the whole nine yards. But all that stuff has done nothing but play into more division amongst the genders.
But as far as Generation X, the baby boomers, or I'm not even sure. I guess they call us the me generation, our generation.
Yeah.
But it's just a label, and it doesn't do anything. It only makes matters, you know, worse by, you know, putting a label on something.
Well, you know, but this is what they've done for a long time. They put labels on stuff. They've done it in school. You got the geeks and the nerds. So what you're doing is you're labeling other human beings. And for all you people labeling other human beings, you know that you wouldn't want to be labeled that way yourself. And this is where people really need to step back and put themselves in somebody else's shoes. And I don't care if it's the female or the male. You need to think, for the females, you need to put yourself in the man's shoes. You need to seriously sit back and think to yourself, if you was this guy, and these females, or you was doing this to this guy, and this female was doing this to you, how would you feel? And it's the same for the men. People need to be willing to step back, regardless if you don't like it or not, and think about, how would this feel if this was happening to you? And if you don't like what it feels like, then that should tell you right away, do not do it to somebody else.
Well, a lot of people today are going to be more, you know, sociopathic than, let's say, they would have been a few decades ago.
Yeah, or narcissists.
Narcissistic and sociopathic, which means narcissistic meaning only caring about themselves. Sociopathic meaning they're not going to care if they're hurting another person.
Right. And we do see a big epidemic of that, don't we?
And we also, you have to remember, you know, with all the technology we have, we've actually become machines.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, with the computers, the smartphones, and all these other gadgets that, let's say, when we were kids, we didn't have.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, I'm going to cut the interview right now, but it was nice. It was nice having you on this. And maybe later on we can do another one together.
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay. But for now, I'm going to cut this interview, and I hope somebody got something out of this.
You're all cut now?